was just watching the famous Charlie Brown Christmas, and one of my favorite moments in that is when Charlie Brown has just about gotten everything wrong, and he's gotten that little tree that nobody seems to like except him, and in frustration, Charlie Brown has just had it, and he finally just cries out, "Can anybody tell me what Christmas is all about?" And I love it because, of course, Linus steps in with his trusty blanket and says, "Sure, Charlie Brown." And he then gives that famous reading from Luke's gospel. "Lo, there were in those days shepherds in the hill country, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." We all know that beautiful reading of the description of Christmas night, as Linus so beautifully gives it on national television every year. But tonight, the church actually gives us multiple readings that we could choose from for Christmas Mass, and I also have to admit I have an ulterior motive in choosing this particular reading from John. I also have Mass in the morning, so this is the reading from Christmas Day, and it means I don't have to write two homilies. So not only do I trust that you know the Linus reading, and you probably didn't want to hear the genealogy reading that goes with the Vigil Mass, I chose what I consider to be the advanced story of Christmas. We know that the shepherds and baby Jesus. St. John gives us the thinking, theological, advanced version of Christmas. John, too, wants to tell us, what is Christmas really all about? But John starts not from Bethlehem, but he starts from the beginning of time, from the beginning of the universe. John says simply, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos in Greek, the divine Word, the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus. He always existed. From before there was anything in creation, Jesus always was. He is eternally begotten of the Father, we say. John starts way back there. Before even a thought of this world existed, Jesus existed. And John's story of Christmas is put simply to say that this Word, the second person of the Holy Trinity, he says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This is really what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Jesus, God, came to be one of us. It is a great mystery. It is what gives us joy tonight, to know that in the midst of our human condition, God mounted a rescue. He came to save us. And he came in the form of a helpless little baby, so that none of us would feel threatened by God, that everyone, it seems, can accept a little baby. Every little baby, it seems, is cute. Who couldn't love a little baby? God came in this way so that we might immediately be drawn to love him, to accept him. But in John's version of the Christmas story today, we see also that not everybody does accept Jesus. It says plainly that he came into the world, he came to his own people, but his own people did not accept him. We know St. Luke tells us a similar story when he says that there was no room in the inn for Mary and Joseph, no room for Jesus to be born except in a little cave in Bethlehem. Jesus was rejected, not welcome, from the first moment. John describes this very beautifully as saying that there was darkness. It's no coincidence that we celebrate the birth of Christ, the birth of the light of the world, at that time of the year when it is darkest. The sun is at its shortest length of days, but it's at that moment precisely when the length of our days begins to lengthen now. Each day gets a little bit longer. The light grows stronger. It's into this exact moment that, as John puts it so beautifully, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Christmas is such a beautiful time of the year, one in which, if we look back to our childhood, many of us have such happy memories that we can try to spend the whole rest of our life trying to recapture some of the beauty and the joy of Christmas that we see in our children. But we know that part of the Christmas story is also what John refers to as that darkness. Because while we're all here tonight to celebrate, we know that we also bring with us our own darkness, pain, suffering in our life. That's all a part of it. Maybe not all seems like joy to the world and glory to God to you on this night. All of us are hurting in one way or another. Perhaps there's a seat empty this year at the Christmas table. Perhaps there's a loss of a job. We're all met with the great conflicts and wars that are going on throughout the world. In many ways, there is darkness in our world. But it was just to this such a time, just to this world, that Jesus was sent. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. The really great joy of Christmas is not that somehow we pretend that the world is all beautiful and that everything is well. Quite the opposite. Rather, it's precisely because we know that the world is broken, is suffering and hurting, that we're broken and suffering and hurting, that we know how much we need a Savior. And that's why the message of the angels is such good news. Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy that will be for all people, for unto you this day a Savior has been born in the city of David, who is Christ and Lord. We do not wait in the darkness hopelessly. Rather, light tonight shines in the darkness. As Isaiah puts it so beautifully, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. That is the true joy of Christmas. Not that our life would be perfect, but in the midst of all the ways that our lives are imperfect, God comes anyway. In fact, it's precisely because of our imperfections that God comes. He is the Prince of Peace. He wishes to put an end to division, fighting, suffering. He gives us hope. It is a great surprise to think that God would become one of us. He made us. He made all this. We owe Him everything. We're not here tonight because ultimately we think we do God a favor or that somehow we enhance God by being here to celebrate Christmas. Rather, we come tonight because desperately we know that we still need a Savior. And in some way, we know as we gather tonight, we gather around the altar, we receive the Eucharist, we know the beautiful words of Isaiah that indeed a Savior has been given us. The famous English author of the last century, G.K. Chesterton, wrote a play about Christmas that is lesser known, but that I saw on EWTN recently. It's a Christmas play, and it's called The Surprise. And I watched it with interest. It's not very long, but as I watched it, you can imagine that with a title like The Surprise, the whole time the play is going on, I'm trying to guess, okay, what's the surprise? You know, it's an obvious question. And it starts off that there's this great plan that the characters reveal. So-and-so is going to marry this person, and this person's going to marry that person. And it looks all beautiful. It's kind of a beautiful kind of comedy almost. But then things start to get all messed up. This person starts fighting with that one, and the person who was supposed to be engaged decides they don't want to be, and then I keep wondering, okay, where's the surprise? And then one person disguises herself and pretends to try to get married to the other person. I'm like, well, that's really going to be a surprise. But that wasn't it either. And then finally, things get so messed up, it just gets worse and worse and worse, that finally the main characters are all drawing swords, and they're about ready to kill each other. I'm like, okay, is that going to be the surprise? Like the whole cast dies at the end of the play? And then in the midst of this, right about as everyone is ready to kill each other, in the back of the set, there's a little kind of window at the top of a house. And that window opens up, A man sticks his head out who is not dressed in costume like the other actors. He looks around at what's going on and he says, "Hey, knock it off. What have you done to my play? Stop it. I'm coming down there." And the window closes, and so does the curtain. And that's the end of the play. I'm like, "Well, wait a minute. What just happened? Is that, that's obviously the surprise." And I thought about that. I'm like, I get it. That's the author of the play, supposedly in the window, looking down, saying, "Hey, what have you done to my play? Stop it." But then more importantly, "I'm coming down there." That's what God ultimately says to us at Christmas. Yes, this play that he created, we mess it up a lot. It's not the beautiful, maybe, image of what God had in the beginning. But into the midst of all this mess, this world that through our own sin has fallen, God looks down and he says, "Hey, what happened? What have you done to my play?" But more importantly, God says, "I'm coming down there." And that's what he does for us at Christmas. The greatest surprise ever, the greatest Christmas gift. God becomes one of us. As John puts it so beautifully, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So we pray that in this midst of darkness and light all mixed together, whatever we find ourselves tonight, we might know that God comes down here. Right tonight, especially in the Eucharist, God is coming down here. And he promises us that no matter how dark the darkness seems, the light seems all the brighter, because the light has indeed shone in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And that's what Christmas is all about.